Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group with another edition of The Grow Show powered by Steel. Just a reminder, folks, The Grow Show can be delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer wherever you get your podcasts. And for an enhanced learning experience, check us out on YouTube. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since doing sales training with your team. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, doing some sales training with your team. And that's what today's edition of The Grow Show powered by Steel is all about. It's about sales. And it's an excerpt from our recently completed virtual sales boot camp, where executive coach for The Grow Group and for McFarland Stanford, Chris Penchik, joins me for several hours of training. You're going to get a little bit of snippet into that to see what it's all like. We're going to talk about knowledge and emotional intelligence, two things sales professionals must have to be successful, and a great opportunity for you. If you like the podcast and you want to learn more, you can purchase this training at growgroupinc.com. Go to the website. There'll be a link here in the show notes on how you can do that. And now on to Chris Penchik and yours truly with some sales training. Have a great week. Whether you're more of a hunter or you're more of a zookeeper, these qualities are all things that successful salespeople must have or acquire. And we have found in our work at The Grow Group that you must be or you must become four specific things to be an outstanding sales professional in the green industry. Session number one here before we break in about another 40 minutes or so, we're laying the groundwork. We're trying to show you where you're at. And it doesn't matter if you're looking through this and you've already had an epiphany like, oh my gosh, I'm a hunter and like I'm cold-blooded hunter and I see where that's hurt me. Or I'm a zookeeper. I'm too mousy. I can't like go and ask for new leads. I have trouble stopping the lady walking down the driveway next to my client and asking them if we could work with them. That's okay. It's okay that, you know, up to this point or you're realizing that, you got to work on getting better. So we're going to frame this out with four things. The first one is knowledgeable, and I'm going to let Mr. Chris take knowledgeable. Chris?
Yeah, so when we think of being knowledgeable, what Marty and I would really want to drive home here, we're not saying you as a salesperson have to have every answer to every question, because everybody knows, and all your customers will know too, it's just not possible. But what we're saying is, you should be always seeking to learn a little bit more, you know? And so I may not be the expert on every aspect that goes into what is in a concrete blend, but I can probably educate myself to be able to give you some interesting facts or be able to help communicate that more effectively in that sales process when I'm presenting those, and know the difference between what an integral color means versus just, you know, it just dyeing and stamping the color. You know, like those little things, they're going to help separate you from competition just by letting them know that, like, man, he's educated. And if he doesn't have the answers, what is he doing? He's at least getting me to the person that does have the answer. So when I talk about people being knowledgeable, we talk about always willing to study and continue, always looking to learn. You know your service product inside and out. You know how to talk about it with someone who doesn't. You know how to anticipate the questions. I mean, my number one sales trick is always go in, before I go into any sales presentation, what are the things that could hang me up? What are those things that if they ask this question tomorrow about how we're going to form and pour that concrete pad that I need to be prepared for and what that machinery might look like. Why? Because that shows them that I'm the expert and I'm looking into these things. Hey, Ms. So-and-so, we've got an 8-foot clearance to get a skid steer in here. We're going to have to do some excavation. Here's what we're going to have to do to make sure we protect your fences, to make sure that we don't cut a corner and accidentally chip the bricks or chip the stone, whatever. But you're looking at, what does the job provide? What are the questions they might add? How do I get ahead of those questions to make sure that I come as the expert to present what that situation is? Understanding I know more about construction than most of my clients, which means I want to be able to communicate that back and forth with them so they feel confidence in my ability to deliver. You know, with regards to internets and prospects, everybody is going to show up with YouTube videos. They're going to show up with their own know-how, and that's great. And I want to encourage that. And I think it's great to have an educated customer. Why? They're going to push you to be better, you know? And so encourage them to ask good questions. You know, hey, here's some things you might want to be prepared for with regards to what it looks like to implement these things. I'd love if you take a look at a couple of these videos. Maybe it'll spur some questions that I can address and help you to make sure this is a smooth process for you. But that knowledge is such an important sales tool that if I know I'm delivering a higher, more expensive product, I have to be able to confidently go in there and educate my customer on why I'm more expensive or why we do the things we do. And if I can back those things up, it's going to give people a whole lot more confidence to know why they should go with me.
You know, Chris, this is probably a question that'll come into the Q&A, but I'm going to ask it now. What do you do when you have a prospect or a client ask you a question and you don't know the answer to it? What's the best way to handle that, in your opinion?
That's a great question, because it will happen. Quite honestly, my favorite answer is, you know, that's a great question. I'll be honest with you, I don't have that answer, but I do know some people that do. Let me talk with Tommy Cole, who's my project manager. He's going to be the one actually overseeing the installation. If you'll give me at the end of the day, I'll follow back up with him. I'll circle back with you this afternoon with some better answers to help address that for you. You know, so I know the resource. I mean, so much of my sales process is just knowing your resources and understanding who is the expert in these fields. If I'm not the person that has those answers, I want to be the person that absolutely knows the person who can get those answers for me.
And that's such a good point, because I think that if you don't know the answer, don't fake it. Because if you're wrong in your fake attempt at faking it, you're really going to look bad. Yep. And I think what you just said there is perfectly. I mean, it's okay not to know the answer. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And go on to the next point. I want to talk about being knowledgeable. As the Boy Scouts often say, be prepared. Knowledge and practice is power. It mitigates fear. This is a picture of our good family friend, CJ Uzoma. He went to Auburn University. My daughter played soccer there. CJ played football there. They were friends. He got drafted by the Bengals. He still remains a friend. He's with the Jets. Sadly, I think he just got released this morning, Chris. So he'll be looking for another job. Maybe Cincinnati can pick him back up. But CJ is a wonderful young man. And I got to tell you a funny story about being knowledgeable. So he first couple of years with the Bengals, played on special teams, got some time. Might have been his second season or his third season. I can't recall. He ended up getting into the starting lineup. And they were playing the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. And Arrowhead Stadium, as I understand it, is one of the loudest stadiums in the country. And CJ, they took the opening kickoff. They marched all the way down the field. They got to the 8-yard line. And Andy Dalton, this was before they drafted Burrow, he threw a touchdown pass to CJ and he scored. Now, sadly, that was the only touchdown that the Bengals scored that night. And they lost 45-7. But CJ had a touchdown. And what was interesting, the next day he was over at our house and I said, "Hey, CJ, man, you know, congratulations on the touchdown." He's like, "Oh, Mr. G, thanks. But it wasn't a real good game. As you know, we got crushed." I said, "Yeah, I understand." I said, "But when you were in the huddle, did you know that ball was coming to you?" He goes, "Yeah, I was the first option on that play." I said, "Well, when you put your hand down in the dirt, were you like nervous?" He's like, no. I said, "Well, gosh, I just would have been so nervous if all those fans and everything." And Chris, he told me something that it really framed preparation for me. He said, "I had run that play so many times in practice with loud music blaring, with the coach's whistle in my ear, but even more importantly, the pressure of that if I don't make the play in practice over and over and over and over again, forget about me starting in the game. I might not even be on the active roster." So the pressure was in practice. And I practiced that play so many times. Like, I didn't even hear the crowd when I put my hand down. Like, I just knew what I had to do and I went and did it. If we look at the Navy SEAL team, if we look at firefighters, if we look at surgeons, if we look at anybody that's forced into a situation where training has to overcome the situation, you start to see that. And Chris, it sounds silly, and I certainly am not going to compare what Navy SEALs and firefighters and police officers and surgeons are doing when they're trying to save lives with making sales. But you can't argue with the fact that preparation enables you to shine bright when those skills are needed. And I think that's the big takeaway from this. The picture down below is CJ and my son Grant. Grant was actually 17 at the time, and CJ got like 8 of the Bengals to come down and sing happy birthday to him in the hotel when we went to the game out of town. It was a cool day for Grant. It was a cool day, but preparation matters. Knowledgeable, ways to learn more about landscaping. Spend a week working on the crew. Yeah, your body might ache, but think about what you might learn. Developing close relationships with your production team. Having this yin and the yang going on where you're getting feedback and you're seeing pictures
and you're learning and you're really engrossed in the work, asking questions, touring gardens, looking to books and magazines and articles from industry leaders for insight and inspiration, attending events, attending Grow, attending gardening conferences, subscribing to Fine Gardening Magazine, learning more about sales, learning more about the opportunities, getting involved in a peer group, okay? You've got your work to do, okay, to improve. Getting better is not just a 9-to-5 job. You can't just as a sales professional in any industry go home and say, oh, I'm done with that. And, you know, if they're not going to pay me to learn, then forget it. Well, that's the attitude of a loser, folks. You know, a winner understands that sales is more than a 9-to-5 job and that there's things you have to do. YouTube has a wealth of information. Doug Hare, his book there, Hare and Shout, Movement and Meaning in the Landscape. It's a great book. That's one you can browse through. The picture down below is one of our peer groups. We're in Rexburg, Idaho at Brigham Young University, and we're getting a tour of their gardens and we're talking to their horticulture class. I don't know if this would be surprising to you, but I love horticulture. That was a great lesson for me to learn and to get out of my comfort zone. My degree's in business. My degree's not in horticulture. Chris has a degree in horticulture. I don't. All right. Chris and I can carry on a very nice conversation about horticulture because I've read and I've studied a lot. Chris spent 4 years studying horticulture at Texas A&M University. So he's a smart cat. So, but we can learn, and it's about being passionate and it's about looking at these things. Chris, some other ways to learn more about sales?
Yeah, I mean, what I always love is it's the ability to ask questions, right? Never being satisfied with the answer and always looking for ways to get better. And I will tell you, any successful salesperson will tell you they're always looking for the edge. They're always looking for that thing that separates them from the competition. You know, that one more event that I'll be able to go, that one way I can find more efficiencies in my day to get to a couple more calls. You know, I always joke with people. I'm like, my team, when they're driving home, I'm like, man, you got 45 minutes there and 45 minutes back. You got an hour and a half that you could be just developing relationship with customers, not selling anything to anyone, but just quick little 10-minute, hey, was just driving, was thinking about you, just wanted to touch base, see how things were going and just plug in. Anything I can help you with, certainly let me know. Otherwise, have a great day. You know, those are little touch points along the way, but you do that over the course of time, you're developing strong relationships. People are like, man, I'm sorry I missed your call, you know? But what happens is when you have that opportunity to sell something, those opportunities will start to become bigger things that you can lean into. Shadowing a successful salesperson. Marty and I, he mentioned it, huge, huge, huge proponents of ride-alongs, sitting down with your salespeople, walking through them through the sales process, going with them to sales appointments and not being the one that talks, but just the ones like, hey, we're just here to make sure we're always improving our systems, improving our process and delivering for you, the customer. I'm just here to observe and just continue to learn to make sure that we're always getting better at what we do. And then let your salespeople go and let them do what they do. Attending training sessions just like we have today, getting involved. There's so much good sales content now across the board, whether it's selling technology, selling janitorial services, selling you name it. But all of those have something you can take away. You know, and I will tell you, Marty and I, as much as I would say we're diving into landscape sales training all the time, I will tell you the best salespeople that Marty and I are learning from are coming from other industries. And we're looking at what do they do that's different? And how do I start to tap into that? We're both big, huge proponents of reading books, you know, New Sales Simplified, Sales EQ. You know, these are just a couple that Marty and I really lean into and love. But I will tell you, we are constantly looking for ways to improve. And if I read a book, I will tell you, I'm looking to take away 1 to 3 things. I'm not looking to become an expert off of reading Sales Management Simplified, but I guarantee you I can take away 2 to 3 things that will absolutely change my paradigm and make me better in some aspect of what I'm doing. You know, so look towards those experts, dive into it, ask good questions, look for the small little takeaways that you can, those little nuggets that you can start to incorporate. And hopefully we'll have a lot more as we kind of go through these next couple sessions that we'll be able to share with you as well.
So salespeople are knowledgeable. Salespeople are also, ladies and gentlemen, emotionally intelligent. And this is something, you know, when I was at the University of Dayton in business school in the late 80s, early 90s, they never talked about this. Emotional intelligence was not something that was even discussed then. And emotional intelligence, by its definition, it's comprised of 4 things: self-awareness, self-regulation, empathy, and social skills. Self-awareness is the ability to recognize and understand your moods, emotions, and drives, as well as their effect on others. Plain and simple, it's understanding that it's not just about you. You got to understand how you're coming across in a situation. And you got to understand that you got to have a likable personality for people to like you, all right? When you're making it all about yourself and you're moody and your emotion, all of this stuff is out of control, it affects things. Being aware of how you're coming across. Self-regulation is also a critical component of that. Like I know myself, Chris, I have been told in the past that they know I'm not happy because they can see an expression on my face. Well, unfortunately, a lot of times I'm not unhappy, but I have such a horrible look on my face that I haven't been able to regulate. It's a turnoff. So I know that about myself. I'll share with you a secret. I will smile. I will force myself to smile to remind myself how important it is to be positive, being able to control and redirect disruptive impulses and moods. You know, you may not like somebody that you're on a sales call with. They may have voted for the wrong presidential candidate in your mind. Well, that doesn't have anything to do. You can't be getting upset about that kind of stuff. So it's being able to regulate that stuff. Empathy. Again, empathy was not a word that was used in American business schools back in the late 90s, in the late 80s and early 90s for me. It just, that wasn't something they talked about. They talk about it now and they should be talking about it now. Empathy is the ability to understand other people's emotions and perspectives and to take an active interest in their concern. I think empathy wasn't used as much back in the late 80s and early 90s because there's just a lot of people today that seemingly aren't empathetic. I see our American political situation where people don't talk, they don't work through things. That is not a healthy perspective to have, folks in sales. You've got to be empathetic. If you can't understand what the client's pain point and problems are, and you can't relate to that and conform to that, you're going to have a problem. Maybe you don't care that your backyard is muddy, but somebody like myself, I do, because I have a dog. And if the dog goes in the backyard and it goes in the mud, guess what's all over my carpets and everything in the house? So it's being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And quite frankly, your ability to have emotional intelligence is not just about making sales. It's also about having relationships, which is another form of making a sale, with your production team, being the kind of salesperson that other people want to put the work in for. And then finally, social skills, the ability to manage relationships, to juggle them, to build networks, to communicate, to persuade effectively. That's what great salespeople have. Sadly, folks, studies show that only 13% of customers believe a salesperson can understand their needs. They don't think people listen. So the first step is listening more than you speak and realizing it isn't all about you. In fact, it really isn't about you at all. These are some funny narcissist cards that we've used this slide for a while. Wow, your birthday's really close to mine. Isn't that amazing? I once had a sad thing happen to me too. I can hardly speak about it without crying. Speaking of bon voyage, guess where I'm going, all right? So again, just to make you laugh, it's not about you, is it, Chris?
No, I mean, so much of it is just being able to just listen to your customer, respond to their needs. And oftentimes, I'll tell you the number one trick I always try and use is I'm a diligent note taker and I repeat back what I heard. You know, so, hey, we've been talking for about the last 45 minutes. I'm just going to quickly recap just to make sure that you and I are on the same page. You talked about active wanting to eat candies. You talked about wanting it done for a party that's in graduation on May 15th. You know, you gave me a list of these things. Is there anything that maybe I missed or something I forgot or maybe something else you thought of? I will tell you, 9 times out of 10, they'll say, no, I think you got it, but here's one more thing I just thought of, right? And that one more thing could be the difference of you exceeding expectations versus just meeting expectations, you know? So just good listening skills are just repeating back what you heard and telling them, hey, here's what I heard. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what you communicated to me. Here's what we're going to be delivering on.
All that stuff matters so much. The being aware of your body language, not interrupting, like Chris said, asking questions, repeating back, making sure there's clarity. One of the things, you know, me personally, when I meet with someone at my home or business that's going to provide a service and there's any kind of ambiguity in it at all. Now, if somebody's going to supply us gas, that one's maybe a little bit less. But I know, like, when we switch gas suppliers, I was involved in that a little bit just because I was taking the heat off some of the other folks. I wanted to be very clear that you cannot deliver gas to our place during certain hours. We do not want you in there early in the morning or late in the afternoon when the yard is full of activity. We don't want you getting in the way of us making money. So it's, again, that was repeated. I said, I remember having to tell the salesperson, he's like, oh yeah, no problem. I said, well, tell me what you heard. And I said, please make sure that that narrative is on your proposal. Now, to his credit, the proposal did have that on there. But I think so many times salespeople don't listen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.